So in the Zen tradition, and particularly in the teachings that Master Deshimaru emphasized, Zen is passed and transmitted Yixin Denxin, which means from mind to mind, from heart to heart. The transmission of Zen happens through personal relationships. Relationships master-disciple, more experienced practitioner, more junior practitioner, and peers in the Sangha supporting each other. Bodhidharma, the Chinese founder of Zen, spoke of how Zen is a special transmission outside the written scriptures. The experience and practice that cannot simply be put into words, but must be lived together collectively, together as Sangha, supporting, challenging, stepping forward, walking the ring of the way. And transmission from mind to mind, from heart to heart, is, again, to quote Master Deshimaru, something that happens naturally, unconsciously, and automatically. It's not something that one can take a course on, and at the end of the course, then you get your certificate of Zen. Rather, it's something more like a subtle perfume that permeates the practitioners, something that happens naturally, unconsciously, and automatically. And that's why Zen places emphasis on practicing the everyday together, not only Zazen and chanting, but also working together on retreats, in temples, cleaning, chopping vegetables, cooking, eating, bumping against each other in everyday life situations. And so that the jagged edges of the rocks of our karma, of our character, rub each other smoother. Continuing to reflect on Yixin Denxin, the nature of transmission in Zen. Yixin Denxin, from mind to mind, from heart to heart. Transmission takes place through personal relationships, from warm hand to warm hand. And it's transmitted by a community which is consistent and ongoing in practice, and a commitment to be together. At the moment, we're together virtually, and that's the best it can be. But in the end, the transmission is from person to person. And it's about the relationship of master and disciple. I remember speaking with Guy about this many, many years ago. And he emphasized that it was a relationship. It's not about someone being a master, but rather it's about someone who wishes to steep themselves in Zen, accepting someone else who has been walking the path for longer as their master. And what that means is to be open to the other person for guidance, including at times being willing to hear difficult things, allowing the other person to gently or sometimes harshly make one aware of the games the ego plays. And for me, it was firstly Nancy Amphu, and then Jean Babi, and finally Guy Mercier, who have had that role in my life in the context of Zen. And what Guy said to me when we spoke about this is that it requires a putting aside of ego on the part of both the disciple and the master in the relationship. Putting aside of one's personal stuff, one's preferences, opinions, what one wants to get out of it, the desire for recognition. If you're running a dojo or a temple, the desire to simply, practically keep the place going. All these things need to be put aside to allow guidance to emerge naturally, unconsciously, and automatically, appropriate to the situation. It's not so easy for either person in the relationship. And of course, as ever, we notice again and again and again the ways in which we trip up. The games the ego plays. And Guy said an interesting thing about experienced teachers. He said an experienced teacher, he was observing himself and the other long-time practitioners of Deshimaru. They can have a very clear relationship with some of their disciples, but the same teacher can have relationships where the ego is far more tangled. And so I think the point that Guy was making is that it's not only about some objective personal wisdom, but it's also about the nature of the relationship. Some people trigger one's stuff more than others, for whatever reason. And nonetheless, if that is one's dharma, one works with that, with the relationships one has in front of one. Not necessarily trying to find a perfect teacher, but find someone who can work with who we are and who they are in the broader context of the Zen community, of one's peers, of the teacher's peers. And simply sitting together, acting together, working together, step by step, day by day. Yixin Denshin, from mind to mind, from heart to heart, from warm hand to warm hand, the practice and experience of Zen is passed. A special transmission outside the scriptures, not relying on words and letters. It is a passing on of a practice and a community and a way of being in the world. And while words are helpful, whether they're the words of those who practiced 1,000 years ago or the words of someone who's practicing right now, in the end, it is about lived experience of practice and community. So in a monastery, of course, Zen life, the Zen way of living, is transmitted by living together and committing collectively to explore what it means to live the Zen life together under the guidance of someone who has lived that way for many years. In city dojos, then, we don't live together, but nonetheless, we practice together and we do our best to create a community. Yixin Denshin is something that is about relationship between master and disciple, teacher and student, but also about relationship between experienced practitioner and someone who is earlier on their walk on the way, and also about the relationship between peers. How can we build a community which is both supportive and challenging, which acknowledges the experience of those who've come before, and allows one to be open to being challenged without making things too rigid, so that it truly is a natural, unconscious and automatic relationship and community grounded in the practice of Zazen.
So I've been talking the last few weeks about Yixin Denshin, the transmission from mind to mind, from heart to heart. And traditionally it's from master to disciple. The disciple spending time over years with the master and an experience of practice imbuing them, sometimes suddenly, startlingly, moments of insight, sometimes gradually, like perfume permeating. And when ego is put aside by both master and disciple, it can be a beautiful thing. But as I mentioned before, what Guy said to me is that for the same master, they can have a relationship with a disciple where ego has fallen away, but that same person in a relationship with someone else, then ego gets triggered. It's to do with our own habits, patterns, upbringing, karma. So inevitably, something that is founded on wisdom and support can be a tool for the ego to assert itself once more. And that's something that every teacher must take care, and every student must take care. It is, of course, a power hierarchy, and such hierarchies can be abused in many ways. And there are many stories on the internet of the most obvious ways in which this happens. But it can also be abused in more subtle ways, where the master engages in favoritism, or the disciple uses their status. And it's always important to observe. And that's also why maybe the one-to-one Yixin Denshin, despite its beauty, is not enough. Why community accountability is also necessary. Where experienced practitioners are open to their peers and encourage open and heartfelt conversations in their community. In this way, then, Yixin Denshin becomes not just from master to disciple, but a practice of the community.